Let's turn in the Word of God this morning to the first chapter of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We're going to read the chapter, and then our text will be verses 5 and 6. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Chapter 1 begins with the Shulamite woman speaking. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Now Solomon speaks, If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. Now the Shulamite speaks again. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Solomon, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. And the Shulamite, Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green, the beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. To that point, we read God's holy word. This morning, our text is verses 5 and 6, words of the Shulamite woman. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard have I not kept. Beloved of God, the Song of Solomon is inspired poetry. It tells of the relationship of Solomon and the Shulamite woman. Their relationship is a picture of Christ and the church. Solomon is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore Solomon's bride is a type of the church, that is, the bride of Jesus Christ. The love that Christ has for his bride and the love that the bride, the church, has for Christ is the heart of this book. The book shows us the sin of the church, to be sure, that we commit against our great husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of the Lord Christ to us, and the assurance that as Solomon never forsakes his bride, our Christ never forsakes his church. Since the Lord's Supper is an occasion where that bond between Christ and his church is so beautifully set forth and also experienced by the church, and since it's a means by which Christ declares that he takes away his bride's sins, takes her into his house as the ground for the bond that is between them. The book, Song of Solomon, has always been for the church a book that the church has expounded and meditated upon in preparation to come to the table of the Lord. We do that this morning too. Now, this morning, through a text that allows us by grace to give expression to who we are as we approach the table of the Lord. Who are you, child of God, who dares to come to the table of the King? How do you see yourself? And how are you prepared in your soul to come? The Shulamite woman and Solomon are not married yet in chapter 1. They are about to be married. They'll be married in chapter 3. They speak of things about their relationship, looking forward as though they are married at the end even of chapter 1. But they're not married yet. But they know they're going to be married and are committed to each other. And so Solomon, knowing that this woman is going to be his bride, brings her into his house. And in verse 4, we see the first time that he does that. He brings her into his palace, into his own chambers. Not to live, they're not married yet, but to visit for the first time, to show her his palace. This is what I'm going to bring you into. This is the life that's awaiting you. I'm going to make you my queen. And when she comes in, she's quite overwhelmed by all of this, and she begins to reflect upon herself. Am I really fit for this? She's feeling kind of uncomfortable about this. She knows who she is. She's a Shulamite woman. She's a woman of the fields, a worker in vineyards. She's of no rank. She's of no standing in society. In fact, her name is never given to us in the whole book, and the reason for that is because her name isn't significant. She doesn't come from any prominent family. Her name is meaningless, really. She's just called in chapter 6 the Shulamite woman. She's from Shulam. That's all we know about her. And yet she's going to become a queen, and she's humbled at the thought. But at the same time, she's excited about it. Solomon has given her many things already, and now he's showing her what's yet to come. She understands that he's going to lift her out of her low estate. And it's in this mixture of emotions, of feeling her unworthiness and her unfitness for this, and yet excitement at what he's bringing her into, that she cries out in verse 5, "I am black, but comely." King Jesus has brought us into his chambers this morning. In a few moments, in the Lord's Supper, he's going to put the ring upon us again and tell us, "This is what's waiting for you. I'm going to bring you into my palace forever, permanently in my house." He's brought us for a visit. You have a foretaste of that now. Don't you feel the same way as the Shulamite woman? Am I really fit for this? Do I really belong in the chambers of the King? It ought to make us remember who we are by nature, beloved, where we've come from. And yet at the same time, fill us with excitement at what he's doing, what he's given to us, and where he's taking us by his grace. And it ought to make us, as we come to the table of the Lord, with that question put to us, "Who are you? Who are you that comes to this meal?" Cry out with her both of those things. I'm black, but in him I'm also comely. Let's notice first, black in sin, and let's confess that. Second, comely in Christ. And third, prepared then to come to the table. The Shulamite woman, at the prospect of what Solomon was going to give her and make her in verse 4 when he takes her into the palace for the first time, cries out in verse 5, "I am black. I am black." Not a reference to her race. Shulam is in Israel. The Shulamite woman was Jewish, as Solomon was Jewish. Rather, a reference to the darkness of her skin as it has been darkened by the sun outside all day working. She explains this herself in the next verse, verse 6. She's black, verse 6, "because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards." She's a field worker. She works in her family's vineyards. And working all day out in the hot sun, as she does, the sun has beat down upon her and has turned her skin very, very dark. She's chapped by the sun and the wind. Her hands are not soft, but they're calloused from her work, and she's dark, dark. In fact, she compares the darkness of her skin to the tents of Kedar. In verse 5, "I'm black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar." Kedar was a descendant of Ishmael, and the descendants of Ishmael were nomads who dwelled in tents, and they made their tents out of black goat's hair. And that's what she's comparing her skin to. Probably exaggerating a little bit, of course. That was the darkest thing out in the desert. But she's saying, I'm as dark as the black goat-haired tents in the Arabian desert. I'm ugly. I'm not fit. And of course, especially, she says that as she compares herself to the royal women of Solomon's palace who were pale. "I'm not fit to be here." Pale skin, of course, at this time, was a sign of wealth and of honor, being in the upper ranks of society. If you had pale skin, it meant you were wealthy enough to never have to go outside and work in a field. So it was a sign of a high standing in society to have pale skin. You were wealthy enough to be indoors all of the time. The only people who had dark, dark skin in this society were those who worked outside all of the time. And so they were looked at as the low class. They had to work in the fields. And as this woman comes into the palace of Solomon and sees all of these fair maidens with their pale skin, she, "I'm black, I don't belong here." And certainly if Solomon had never taken her into the palace for a visit, she would have known sort of intellectually that she doesn't belong there, but it's especially the fact that he brought her there and showed her all of these glories and beauties. It's the contrast between the two now that makes it strike her so much. She sees herself as what she really is. Otherwise, in comparison to all the other women in the fields, there was no real contrast. But now she sees this contrast, and "I'm dark, I don't belong here, I'm not fit to be in the palace of the king." The church makes that confession this morning. I'm black in trespasses and sins. The color black, especially the black of night, is a picture of sin and unrighteousness in the Bible. From the very beginning, the first day of creation, when God separates light from darkness, it's a picture of the antithesis between righteousness and unrighteousness. And so the Apostle Paul, knowing that picture when he writes to the Thessalonians, reminds them, don't behave as children of the night, children who live in darkness, because darkness is a picture of unrighteousness. The black of night is a picture of sin. And then in the Bible, when we're clothed with white robes of righteousness. White is a picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now the king takes his bride into his chambers this morning for a visit, for a foretaste of the time when he will make us his queen and in all eternity and will never leave the palace of his communion. And while we know our sin, of course, we know our blackness, it's especially in the contrast when he takes us here. And when we understand what this means, what it means that he will take us into heaven to be with himself in all of his purity and all of the holy angels and to rule upon thrones with him. That we see our blackness as what it really is. A lot of times, of course, we can say we're sinners, but we dwell amongst sinners, and so we don't really see the contrast that great. But when he takes us to himself and brings us here and sets us before his law and then shows us the glories that are awaiting for us, this is where I'm going to take you, my queen. And in the light of all of that, I see I'm not fit for this. Who am I? It's like Isaiah before the holiness of God in Isaiah 6. He knew he was a man of unclean lips, but before that, he says, he's overwhelmed by it. Woe is me. Why would he want me? Why am I a part of his bride? Do I belong? I'm black. Specifically, we confess that blackness as a blackness of our nature and a blackness of our activity in sin. First, we confess it as a blackness of our nature. How did the Shulamite woman get to be so dark-skinned? Well, she had to work out in the fields all day. Why did she have to work out in the fields all day? She had to work out in the fields all day because that was the family she was born into. Her father was of no rank. He was a worker in fields. And she was born into that family. Her family was part of the reason why she was black. And not just her father either. She says that her brothers, after her father died, made her go work in the fields all day for whatever reason. I don't know, but they were evil to her. And they made her go work in the fields all day in the family vineyards. Her family was the cause of her blackness. Well, so to us, our family situation is the cause of our blackness spiritually. We're born into a family of low rank. Spiritually, poor ancestry spiritually, the family of Adam after the fall into an impoverished state where a black heart is our inheritance, so that by virtue of our connection to the family of Adam, we are in ourselves black in trespasses and sins. But not only that, our active sins that we commit, though we are in that family, are part of our blackness. And that's here in the text too. And the way the Shulamite woman recognizes her own responsibility in this, it's not just that she's born into this family, but it's her own fault too, the way that she looks. Verse 6, they made me, my brothers made me the keeper of my vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, and those vineyards are the family vineyards, the fields in which she works. But then when she goes on to say, my own vineyard have I not kept, she's not talking about her own private actual vineyard, but she's talking about her person. I go to work every day in the fields. That's part of the reason why I'm black and my hands are calloused and I'm I'm so different from all of these women in the palace. But I acknowledge that it's partly myself too. I haven't kept my own vineyard. I haven't taken care of my feminine beauty at all. I've sort of let myself go, and that's part of the reason why I'm like this. And we must confess this too, that our family situation has given to us a nature that is depraved. But out of that depraved nature, we've been actively involved in sin and have not kept up the vineyard of our own spirituality. It is our fault, our responsibility. We actively live before God in sins that we know that we're committing. And if we've discovered in this week of self-examination doughiness and mushiness on one side of the cake, our responsibility in that, our own vineyard, have we not kept? How can I come into the palace of the king and come dine at his table? I'm black. Recognizing her blackness, however, at the same time, the Shulamite describes herself also as comely. I'm black, but comely. Comely means beautiful, lovely. And that word is a word that she uses of herself, not in any arrogant way or simply because she has come to this conclusion about herself, but because Solomon uses this word to describe her. In chapter 4, verse 3, he says to her, "Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely." In chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "Thou art beautiful, my love, comely as Jerusalem." And she dares to say it of herself only because of that, because he keeps telling her this, "You're comely, you're comely." And why does she believe it when he tells her this? Because he's making her so. He's making her comely, and she knows it. He's taking her out of her lowly estate. He has given to her a standing in a way that is bringing her out of her lowly situation. It's by virtue of her association with him that she has any comeliness. That's why she compares her comeliness to the curtains of Solomon. In verse 5, "I am black but comely as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon." I am black corresponds with the tents of Kedar. I am comely corresponds with the curtains of Solomon. Curtains of Solomon were the tapestries and all the hangings in Solomon's glorious palace. And she says, "At once I'm black like the goat's hair tents, but at the same time I'm comely like the tapestries here in Solomon's palace. I don't feel like I fit and I belong, but at the same time he's making me like this place, like a part of it." And the point is that he's making her so. Her association with him and what he's doing in her life is making her lovely, so that though she's dark, he's given her fine clothing to wear. He's putting her in a position where she will soon be his wife. And of course, if left to herself, she's only black. With what he's doing with her and for her, she's also comely. I'm black, but comely. So too the church. So too you must confess as you come to the table of the Lord this morning. Absolutely, I am black. I am black. But don't stop there, beloved. Or you dishonor the work of the King in your life. I am also comely in Jesus Christ. And like the Shulamite woman, we only dare say that because he tells us that we are. He calls us comely. He says we're beautiful in his sight. And only because of what he's done and is doing, our association with him is the only thing that's comely and beautiful about us. Only by virtue of our union with him are we not only black, but also comely, having set his love upon us who are nothing. He's making us fit to be his queen. We're not there yet, but we aren't what we were either. He has placed upon us the tapestries of his own house, the white robes of his righteousness, imputed to us for forgiveness of sin. He is slowly but surely imparting to us his righteousness so that we're being sanctified more and more, making us to be his queen, to dwell in his palace, preparing us to the point where we will live with him in his palace forever in glory. And I can see the effects of his work upon me and his love upon me, transforming me, making me not only black, all black, but also comely. Interestingly, one of the chief aspects of what makes us comely to Jesus Christ is that by his grace, we recognize our blackness and give him all the glory for anything that's comely about us. The Shulamite woman would not be comely to Solomon if after verse 4 he brings her for a visit into the palace. She says to him, "Well, it's about time. It's about time someone recognized where I belong." But instead she says, "Don't look upon me because I'm black. Don't stare at me in my blackness." She recognizes it. So too, a large part of what makes the child of God comely to the Lord Jesus Christ is the humility and meekness, even as we come to the table of the Lord to say, "I see the privilege that he's given to me, and even the comeliness that he's working into me, but I remember, I know who I am still. I know where I've come from, and it embarrasses me. Don't stare at me, O King, in my blackness. My sin and shame will be there until the day that he transforms me fully into his own image, and there's no blackness left to speak of. I don't deserve what he's given to me. I'm nothing in myself, and any comeliness is comeliness that he's given. That's beautiful, a work of his beautiful grace to me." So who are you? Who approaches the table of the King to dine with him and have a foretaste of life in his palace forever this morning? You must say both things, beloved, with conviction. I am black, but comely. Both, must be both, or you may not come. I'm black, but I'm not only black either. I'm comely to him as he works his own comeliness. In him and only by anything that he's given in association with him. But at the same time, I recognize that I'm not only comely, I'm black. I know I am. And all that's black is of me. And any comeliness is comeliness that he has given to me. I am black, but comely. Not that guy, that person, I hope they're listening, because I, me, not just the people of God. I know this is what Christians are. They're black in sin, but yet being transformed into Christ. But me, I am, and I know this in my own life as I come out of a week of self-examination. His grace is evident in me, and my blackness is as blackness as ever it was. Then you come, then you're prepared to come, then you come in a right way in your soul. You're not proud, you're not presumptuous, you're humbled, and you're not denying His work of grace in your life, and you're ready. You make that confession, you come. And He says to you, my bride, this is what's waiting for you. Life in my palace, at my table, forever. I'm going to take away all your blackness, replace it all with comeliness. You'll dwell with me in union and love forever. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts. We come this way, Father, black, and though we dare hardly even dare say it, but because of thee, comely in thy sight, and growing more and more, receive us at thy table and declare to us thy promises, and bring us to the end that thou hast promised to us. In Jesus' name, amen.